walk us through. I mean, you're talking about staying alive. What's our biggest threat to life almost immediately? What should we be aware of right out of the box?
Right out of the box is thermoregulation, and that's my first book, 98.6 Degrees, Art of Keeping Your Ass Alive, which you referenced. Your core, Ian, and my core body temperature, give or take, is 98.6 degrees. The biggest cause of death in an outdoor survival situation is hypothermia, low body temperature, or hyperthermia, high body temperature. Now, you might say, well, you know, what in the hell does that have to do with the urban survival situation? Well, about in 2004, just a few years ago, do you remember when they had that huge heat wave in Europe?
Sure.
Yeah, it knocked out about 60,000 people who died in their home or apartments all over Europe. So body temperature regulation is key. You know, a human being is like a car. You know, if it doesn't have the radiator's leaking or the radiator doesn't work, you don't go down the road. So that is primary. Let's say, you know, it's your Midwest and the power gets knocked out and you don't have a wood stove. All of a sudden it's 35 degrees in the house. So we're dealing with thermoregulation as your primary number one thing to do. Of course, after ABCs, airway, breathing, circulation, and the billions of injuries that could happen, especially in an urban calamity.
Well, okay, well, we can even go closer to home. Remember what happened in Chicago? Was it summer of 95, maybe, where it where Chicago, which is not unaccustomed to heat. I mean, that's a city that's used to hot summers, but it got nailed with a heat wave, and it cost the lives of, I want to say, hundreds of people who died, as similar to the European situation, in their apartments. Sometimes people these dying sitting in front of the window with a fan on, but they said this went to a kind of complacency where people had survived it in the past, so they thought they were naturally just going to survive it again in the future, but there was a tipping point and they lost.
Yeah, and that's, you know, survival's a gamble. That's the nature of the word, survival. Survival sucks. You know, no one wants to be in that situation where your life is on the line. It tends to cause extreme fear. It's a bummer. It's a buzzkill. You know, it's a, hopefully just a short-term situation. And, yeah, just got last summer, too. Again, that's very, very, very common, lack of thermoregulation, even in towns and cities. And when I came out with that first book, people were going, nah, you know, I like that information, and I think it's cool, but I don't really go outside that much, you know,
right.
So I don't need that book. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that book, a lot of that information could have been used in the backyard as well. But then, you know, when all hell breaks loose, that's your backyard primer right there. So people just don't think. And the reason they don't think is because the damn little thing on the wall with the little temperature gauge that is, you know, it's 72 degrees and it'll always be 72 degrees. And again, you nailed it on the head, complacency and a desire for comfort. It's the bugaboo of America, big time. And it's going to bite us in the butt sooner or later.
Or even panic, and I thought that's an interesting idea too. Is that's the first thing you have to do is fight the panic, because maybe that's also how some people, you know, died in Chicago with that summer heat wave. Is they kind of panicked and they forgot. It's sort of like how, you know, they will find somebody who's been lost in the desert, and when ultimately they find them, they were a half mile from the highway, right? When they find the body, they were a lot closer to so-called civilization than they realized, but something happened and they were unable to make the leap that ultimately saved their life.
Yeah, panic is much more than a psychological state of, you know, high-level stress or fear. I mean, panic is pretty much that's when all the warning bells go off and the person just goes willy-nilly running through the woods, and it's a complete breakdown of the psyche in general. But it also has some physiological ramifications, big time. You know, just it impairs the circulatory system, which, guess what? That's how the body heats and cools itself. So it's not just the psychological state that causes one to lock up in a panic state. It directly affects your physiology and even more so body temperature regulation. So when you really get into the physics of survival and the psychology and physiology of survival, it's a very, very fascinating field. And when you look at that, how fear and alt stress affect the body, and you look at what other survival people teach, you realize a lot of it's bogus. You know, it's based on fine and complex motor skills, which are going to go to a hell in a handbasket when your heart rate goes up, which when you're scared, your heart rate goes up. So, again, it's just knowing, I mean, my body is what I'm trying to keep alive, for God's sake. But it's ironic that how few people put that into the factor, you know, when, you know, when push comes to shove or they're training someone in survival.
All right. So what's the most likely scenario in the life of the average person, the most likely scenario that they're going to face that they need to survive? I mean, we're talking about hurricanes or floods? Oh,
yeah. Boy, my crystal ball broke a long time ago. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. Statistically speaking, I mean, what is it that you, as you were right, because, I mean, you go through a lot of various scenarios. I was just curious whether you've heard or came across, you know, the average person will most likely face a tornado, or the average person will most likely face, you know, being caught in a thunderstorm. I was just curious.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Obviously, I did a heck of a lot of research for this book.
Yeah, you did.
I never ran across a stat like that.
Okay.
You know, we don't even have a stat for how many people get rescued by search and rescue nationwide. No one even keeps that basic of a stat, let alone, well, we could just go down, you know, I'm a news junkie, you know, Google
right.
News, CNN, whatever, because I like to track this stuff. This is my passion. Self-reliance is what I do. It's what I live. It's how I make my living, blah, blah, blah. And you can just see the weather systems, the hurricanes, and the tornadoes, and earthquakes. And, you know, I was just in Seattle and Portland, like I mentioned, and they are there on a fault line, on the ring of fire, you know, with volcanic activity, with wind storms, and that's part of the reason I was received so well up there, is because they realize that they're in a real hell on earth type place if push comes to shove. So,
well, right,
how
well,
it happens, who knows? You know,
well, let's push
wild card.
Let's push it there. Let's talk about Seattle specifically, or the Northwest in general, or even for that matter, down the coasts, which would be the most vulnerable. Let's say worst case scenario, you have an earthquake, which then also results in a tsunami, which accompanies, you know, let's say there's a particularly bad storm. Do you get kind of a perfect storm of two or three things happening at once in Seattle? What's the first thing people should do?
Well, I mean, it depends on how quickly they're notified. Okay, for an earthquake, I know they have some centers out there, but there might be no notification for that. For a tsunami, what is it, a half an hour? For a hurricane, a few days? So let's take Katrina, because that happened. That wasn't hypothetical at all. And you had a two- or three-day, yeah, they botched it, but you had a two- or three-day window there. Get out of there, you know, if you can get out of there. But then people tried to, and what was the gridlock, 6-7 hours on the highway?
Right.
So if you can avoid a punch coming at your face, you get out of the way. You know, that's basic common sense survival.
Right.
But a lot of people won't be able to do that. So the next thing is, you know, is your home still standing? You know, were you all at home? What if Ian's in the studio and your sweetheart's back home or whatever? You know, you need to have a game plan via communication where Ian and his loved ones say, look, if something goes on and we don't have any communications and the SHAT hits the fan, we're going to meet here. And then we'll go to plan B after we meet here. So I'd say that's the first thing, is to gather the troops, metaphorically speaking, and find out what's happening. You know, if you can't avoid the punch and you get hit with the punch, then you got to decide what the damage is after you're punched, and then you go into that part of the disaster.